good to be back with you today. If you would, open up your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Probably one of the most familiar passages is to many in the audience today is Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. You've probably heard many different lessons on this subject, or many different lessons that are included about this passage. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another in so much more as you see the day approaching. I probably didn't need to put it up on the screen at all. Probably many people could have quoted it from memory and know it very well. But what about Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24? If I ask you to just back up a verse, would you know that one from memory? Let's look at Hebrews 10, 24. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. That's the one we want to focus on this morning. Certainly, Hebrews 10, 25 is very important, and the two really go hand in hand. But I want to talk this morning about considering one another, stimulating one another, and what kind of relationship that we have together. This morning when Blake read for us the parable of the Good Samaritan, clearly the man was trying to challenge Jesus when he asked Jesus the question about who is my neighbor. And when Jesus told him the parable of the Good Samaritan, the Samaritans were ones that were not considered to be well thought of in that day by the Jewish community. And when Jesus told the story, and clearly the Samaritan was the one that acted like the neighbor, Jesus said, who is the one that was the neighbor? He couldn't even bring himself to say, well, it was the Samaritan. He said, the one who showed mercy. And it clearly was the Samaritan who showed mercy. And that good deeds and good works come from the ability to show mercy. And we do need to have that desire in us to show mercy. And it needs to not just be a desire, it needs to be something that actually happens, that there is some action in our life. And mercy and good deeds come from sacrifice, from using your abilities, from using your time, using your resources, using your money, as we saw in that parable of the Good Samaritan, as he used the things that he had to help somebody that he didn't even know who it was. But when we look at Hebrews chapter 10, what we're talking about is we're talking about helping those that we do know. We're talking about stimulating one another, considering one another, helping brethren that we do know so that we can be more closer to our Savior and be more like Christ in our lives and embody those qualities that we should have. The good thing about the life of a Christian is when we try to be like Christ, we don't have to do that alone. It's not something that we're asked to do by ourselves. We don't exist in a vacuum. We're not individually trying to do this all by ourselves to get this done. We are here to support each other. We're here to encourage each other, to strengthen each other, and really to push one another. And we'll talk more about that in this lesson. Sometimes people don't really like to be pushed, but we are to be pushed. And we should push others, and we should desire to be pushed. So we need to examine what this verse says about our relationship with one another and in relationship to good deeds or good works. So we want to look at that this morning as we consider what the Bible says about considering one another. First of all, we need to understand that our goal is love and good works. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, Paul tells Timothy, the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith. Paul is telling Timothy that the goal of instruction is love. And what are we to love? Well, there's several things that we're to love. First of all, we know that we're to love God. We just showed our love for God in the memorial of the Lord's Supper. We memorialize the love that God showed for us. In James chapter 2, verse 5, James says, "Listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which He promised to those who love Him?" What has been promised is promised to those that love God. The heirs of the kingdom are those that love God. And so our goal is love. And one of the objects of our love, obviously, is to love God as He loves us. And not only are we to love God, we show our love for God by our love for each other. John talks about this in his epistles, 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God." What's the attribute of knowing God? Knowing each other and loving each other. If you don't love each other, if you don't show love for your brethren, then you don't really know the love of God. And not only are we to love those who are lovable, we're even to love those who are not lovable. We're to love our enemies. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44, Jesus challenges us to love our enemies. Jesus indicates that it's easy to love those who love you. But He says, "I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you." That's difficult to do, but that's what Jesus says that we're to do. So our goal is love. Love God, love each other, even love our enemies. And what happens when we do this? We become more like Jesus Christ. As Jesus Christ hung on the cross, He loved His enemies. He loved those who spitefully used Him. He loved those who put Him there, who mocked Him, who scourged Him, who put Him there when He didn't deserve to be there. So we are to love. And when we have that love, we become more like our Father in heaven. Our goal in love is not something that's mystical, that we can't really define. You know, what do we mean when we say that we need to love? I think, as we saw in the parable of the Good Samaritan, it's something that's acted out. Love shows itself by acting out. Today is Mother's Day. And many people will show their love for their mother today. You know, they should show their love for their mother all year. But, you know, there's cards and there's flowers and there's special things that are done today. Many people have their mother's picture on as their profile picture today on Facebook and things like that. To show, you know, to tell their mother that they're thinking about them and to you know, encourage her and make her feel special on this day. That's an action. And it's not something that just needs to be done once a year. It needs to be carried out all the time because of that relationship that children have with their mother. When we talk about love, it's not something that just needs to be talked about. It's something that needs to be acted out through the good works that we perform. And when we talk about Hebrews and the things that we do for each other, when we consider one another, there are actions that are involved. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 talks about these good works. We really cannot separate love from works. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. "We are His workmanship, created in Jesus Christ for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." In Titus chapter 2, verse 7. "In all things showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing integrity, relevance, and incorruptibility." And this morning our lesson is not about, well, what exactly are these good works? But I had Blake read the parable of the Good Samaritan and show, well, this is one example of what good works is seeing a need and taking care of it. And there are all kinds of good works that we need to take care of in relationship to our brethren. We've seen a lot of good works being done in the past week and a half in regard to the tornado victims, where people have done things, companies have done things, individuals have done things. So we do see good works being done around us. And we do see the pattern of brethren doing good works as we read throughout the Scriptures. In Titus chapter 2, verse 14, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify himself for his own special people, zealous for good works. What I'm trying to say here is that we see that love acts out and does good things. Over and over we see that that is an outgrowth of our life as a Christian, or it should be. In verse 8 of Titus chapter 3, this is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who believe in God should be careful to maintain good works. These are good and profitable to men. The Scripture prepares us for good works. We need to engage in these. The Scriptures equip us for every good work, according to 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. So we need to let the Scriptures do that to equip us and participate in those things in our life. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. Are we being equipped? Are we using the equipping that we are receiving? We certainly should be. So our love, our goal is love and good works. Secondly, we must stimulate one another to love and good works. That's what our passage this morning, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, tells us to do. That we must consider each other. Other translations say you must stimulate each other to love and good deeds, or to love and good works. What happens when we become involved in these good works or these good deeds? Sometimes people get burnt out. Sometimes that is a natural problem when somebody is involved in these things. They become burnt out. And that means that they were doing something. That's good. Sometimes people don't get burnt out because they never did anything at all. But what happens when we try to do things for others? Do others always respond to what we try to do for them? Can we always see the results of what we try to do for others? Can we always see the results of our good works or our good deeds immediately, or do we have to wait a while? Paul said in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, to not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we do not grow weary or if we do not give up. So Paul knew that it would be possible for us to grow weary in doing good or in well-doing. So we don't need to grow weary in good works. We should be aware that that's possible. I believe Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 is the key to overcoming that weariness. Considering one another, stimulating one another, is the key to overcoming weariness in good works. Because God has not set us here to do this alone. He has put us here with each other so that we can help each other. And that's one of the great benefits of us being together as a congregation, that we can help build each other up. We can consider each other and build each other up as we try to become more like Jesus Christ. Isn't it easier to do something when you have other people supporting you? Is everybody a self-starter? In your place of employment, do you have those that need to be prodded along to do certain things? Or do they... are they always able to get going and motivate themselves, or do they need somebody to help them? You know, last week when we were in Orlando, there was a fire alarm at the hotel. One of the kids in our band was cooking macaroni and cheese late at night, and it set off the fire alarm. And we didn't know it wasn't a real fire. We all went outside, and Ethan wasn't there. Ethan was not in the parking lot. Well, Ethan is impossible to wake up. And, it, you know, for some reason, when I started talking about self-starters, I immediately thought of what Ethan is not. When it comes to getting up, this is a situation where he would need somebody to consider him. That he would need to have somebody, you are my friend, you are my roommate, and if the hotel catches on fire, you need to throw water in my face because I'm not going to hear the alarm. And fortunately, there was really nothing wrong with the hotel. But that's the plan for the future, is for Ethan to warn his roommates that he's not going to hear the alarm. He needs to have somebody know that he is not a self-starter when it comes to hearing the alarm. When it comes to our spiritual life, God has put us together. The writer of Hebrews tells us that we are to help each other, to stimulate one another. That means that sometimes we incite each other to action. I may not be doing what I ought to do. I might need some prodding. You might need some prodding. I believe that's exactly what the Hebrew writer is saying when we consider one another to stimulate one another to good works. Stimulate is the word that's used by the New American Standard Version. And let's look at some of the other translations. The King James Version says provoke one another. You know, the word provoke is interesting because it's really not a negative word. It means that you're pushing something, you're provoking it. I remember years ago seeing the bulletin for the Plano Provoker, which was for Plano, the church in Plano, Illinois. I thought, oh, that's a horrible, horrible title for a bulletin, the Provoker, because I always thought, provoking to wrath. And that the word had a negative connotation. But then I thought about, it really doesn't have a negative connotation when you think about it in this regard, that we're provoking one another to good works. So we're provoking one another. Most of the time when we think of that, about that word, we're thinking about provoking somebody to make them angry. But here, it's in a positive way. We're provoking somebody to good things. The English Standard Version and the New King James say to stir up one another. And again, that sometimes can be in a negative way. When something has stirred up, that means that a lot of times they've caused some trouble. But here, it's that they're to stir up something good, stir up love and good deeds. The New International Version says spur on one another. So think about that. What does it mean to be spurred on? Well, when you spur on a horse, you jab it with the spur of a boot to get it to go where it's supposed to go. It may not be something that's very pleasant, but it gets it to where it's supposed to go. And I think that it's interesting to look at those different translations to get an idea of what it is that we should be getting out of Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. I think what we see is a picture of Christians that are actively making sure that other Christians are growing. That we are actively making sure that other Christians are performing good works. We see pictures of Christians getting actively involved in each other's lives. Now, is that something that's pleasant to you? Is that something that, when you think about other Christians being involved in your life, is that something that brings good feelings to you? Or is that something that it brings up a wall and I don't want anybody interfering with my life? I submit to you that if we think about other Christians being involved in our life and that stirs up negative feelings in us, then we have some kind of problem. We have some kind of issues. If we want to be so private that we don't want other Christians to be involved, so that we can do what the Hebrew writer is telling us to do, then we need to do some serious thinking and praying. We need other Christians to help spur us on and to encourage us and get us to go where we need to go. So we need to challenge each other. I need to be challenged. You need to be challenged. We're not always where it is that we need to be in different areas of our lives. You need to be stirred up. You may be the one that needs to be jabbed. I may need to be jabbed with a sharp object to get me going into the right path. It's almost like the Hebrew writer saying, we ought to sometimes be getting into each other's face a little bit and say, look, I'm not going to let you fail. I'm going to help you go into the right direction. I want to help you start showing this kind of love that you should have and help you to grow in good works. Thirdly, we must consider how it is that we are to stimulate one another in love and good deeds. Before we start doing this, before we start getting in each other's faces, we need to consider how it is that we ought to do that. Give consideration how we fulfill that. Pay careful attention to the spiritual condition of those that are around us. Determine what it is that would be most needful to help our brethren. And you know, when we talk about these things, it assumes that we do know something about each other and that we've spent time around each other. And you know, brethren, we won't get to know each other if we have to chase each other down in the parking lot to try to talk to each other. If we have to chase each other down just to say hello at the end of services, you know, we're not going to get to know each other, to try to help each other to grow in these ways that we're talking about this morning. We need to know each other so that we can be aware of the spiritual needs that we have, and we can be helpful. You know, we all want to help each other get to heaven. That should be our goal. It's not an adversarial relationship. We are considering one another to help each other. And I need help, and you need help. I know I need help. The Hebrew writer tells us some ways that we can stimulate and consider one another. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 tells us that one way that we're all familiar with is that we need to assemble together to maintain that habit of assembling together. That's one way that you can have the relationship to help build these good habits. What are some other ways that we can stimulate one another to love and good works other than just attendance? Let's look at Titus chapter 2. If you turn there with me. Titus chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. I believe there's three different things here in Titus chapter 2 that we can see that will help us. Titus chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. So you see here in verse 15 the three things: speak, exhort, and rebuke. First of all, what does it mean to speak? Well, simply to speak means that to stimulate one another, we just need to open our Bibles and we need to teach each other what's found in it. That's what we do when we come together. That's one of the main purposes that we perform when we come together as a congregation, is to open our Bibles and study it. So we stimulate one another when we open the Bible and teach what we find therein. To reprove. What does it mean to reprove? Well, to reprove means that we rebuke, we expose error, we challenge one another. There are times when that's necessary. And how are we to do that? That's not always something that's pleasant. It's not pleasant to hear. It's not pleasant to give rebuke many times. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 gives us some guidance on how to do that. If a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one by beating him over the head with your Bible. No, it doesn't say that. It says, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Be gentle. Treat him the way that you'd like to be treated in the same situation. Treat him gently. And exhortation. What does that mean? Exhortation, I believe, means to encourage. And this is probably the most overlooked approach to help stimulate one another. It's vastly overlooked, I believe, in the corporate world, is when you do something right that somebody pointed out to you. You know, we had a sister that used to point out the words that I misspelled in the bulletin. I thought, well, what about all the ones I misspelled right? But, you know, when we do something right, sometimes people would be encouraged to hear about that, wouldn't they? At Brennan's school, at Helena Intermediate School, sometimes Brennan has come home with a piece of paper that says character catcher. And they have caught him doing something. And it's not a bad thing either. You know, they've caught him doing something. He's picked up trash that wasn't his trash. Or he's done something that they caught him doing something that was good. And they've honored him by filling out this thing that said a character catcher, and Brennan has done this and this. And that stimulates good works, doesn't it? That will stimulate good works in other kids that want their character to be caught too. They want to be honored for doing something good. Brennan wants to be honored again for doing something like that. So he'll continue in those good works. You know, we want to encourage one another. You know, that was a very good prayer. You know, you really had some good thoughts at the Lord's table today, and be specific about the things that really meant something to you. The different things that we can do to encourage one another. I'm not saying to be insincere about it. I'm just saying that to be cognizant of the things that do mean something to you, that made impression on you, and tell the person that made that impression on you so that they know. And it will encourage them to continue doing those types of things, and will help build them up. So we need to exhort one another. We need to catch each other doing things right. We catch each other doing things wrong and want to tell them about that. But let's catch others doing things right. In Titus chapter 2, verse 7, Paul said, "In all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing integrity, reverence, incorruptibility." Paul said it should be a pattern, and that we can stimulate one another to love and good deeds. He's saying that you are a pattern, that you are an example. We should consider the fact that sometimes we can carry somebody along with us. Suppose that you're conducting a study. You could take somebody else along with you so they can see the example of what you're doing, or you're visiting, or you're making a meal, or doing something, some good work for somebody else. And perhaps they're not able to do that at that time, but you can take them along with you. They can participate in that as well. So they can be encouraged by what you're doing as well. One final point that I want to make is that we must stimulate one another into love and good works. What I mean is that the Hebrew writer did not say, "Let the elders consider how to stimulate you to love and good deeds," or "Let the deacons," or "Let the preacher," or "Let the Bible class teacher consider how to consider or how to stimulate you." He said, "Let us consider how to stimulate one another." That means it's all of us. It's not somebody else's job. We're all equally responsible for considering one another to love and good works. It's not my job. It's not Tom's job. It's not Michael's job. It's not Rex's job. It's all of our jobs. You're not to sit back and say, "Well, I'm not feel like I'm being considered. I'm not being stimulated." Well, you know, who are you stimulating? Who are you encouraging? Who am I encouraging? Who am I stimulating? Am I doing what I'm supposed to do? We're all responsible for that because we are Christians. That's who the Hebrew writer is addressing. You know, look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 12. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12 says, "For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." God did not give elders and evangelists to do the work of the ministry for the saints. He gave elders and evangelists to equip saints for the work of the ministry, to build up the body. Sometimes I think we feel like it's always somebody else's responsibility to do things, but when we look at what the Hebrew writer is saying, it's all of our responsibility to encourage one another. And we have to approach that and take on that task. And we have to do it from a practical standpoint. We know more things about some people than we do about others. We might be able to help some people more than we can others. You know, we're a relatively small congregation, so it's not as challenging here as it might be other places. But, you know, you have 40 different people. How do I know what 40 different people need to grow? Well, we get involved in relationships with one another, and we get to know each other. And we encourage one another, and those relationships build. The question is, we need to be asking is, who is stimulating you to love and good works, and who are you stimulating? Is it going on? One other thought that we need to consider, and we've already hinted at this already, is that we might find it easy to try to encourage others. We might find it easy to try to provoke others and stimulate others, but we have to learn to accept it too. We have to learn to accept provocation. We have to learn to accept spurring on and stirring up from others. And maybe that's an important lesson for us to learn. Maybe even before we try to challenge others, we need to learn how to be challenged ourselves. Sometimes people don't really want to be challenged. They don't want others pushing them. They don't want others challenging them. But you know, that's what the Hebrew writer tells us we need to do. We need to challenge each other. We need to stimulate each other. We need to provoke each other. Is it okay if I challenge you right now to not go home and let this lesson slip into oblivion? To not forget about it? I'd just like to challenge us to push ourselves to grow and to try to find others that will push us and challenge us to grow. We need to be growing. As we've said many times, a child that doesn't grow is going to be taken to the doctor to find out why. A Christian that doesn't grow is just doesn't grow. And rarely does anybody do anything about it. But it's just as tragic or more tragic than a child that doesn't physically grow. A Christian needs to be grown. We need to be stimulating one another unto love and good works. Let's not forget Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. And I hope every time you hear Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 from now on, you'll always think of the verse before it and what we talked about today, and that we will embody what it teaches. If in any way you're subject to the invitation today and you have not put on the name of Christ through baptism, there's no better time to do that than to name the name of Jesus be buried in baptism and arise to walk a new life, having your sins washed away. If we can help you in any way, we invite you to come while we stand together and sing.